everyone, welcome back to Southern Ghost Stories, where we talk about some of the most haunted places in the South. I'm your host, Chelsea, along with Alan.
Hey there.
We hope you enjoyed our last podcast on the Schamburger Building in Gallatin, Tennessee. If you're interested in finding out more information about the building or other haunted locations around Nashville, check out our Nashville Ghost Map app, which allows you to customize your own ghost tour along with our books, Southern Ghost Stories, Historical Hauntings, Ghost of Gallatin, and Haunted Hotels. Today, we're going to talk about Jailer's Inn in Bardstown, Kentucky. Alan, can you go ahead and give us a little background on the old jail?
Despite being billed as the bourbon capital of the world, Bardstown, Kentucky isn't necessarily known as a mecca for tourists. However, Bardstown has a rich history that stacks up favorably to other large cities in Kentucky like Louisville, Lexington, and Bowling Green. When it comes to tourist destinations, you don't typically think about sleeping in an old jail just a few feet away from where public executions took place. However, despite the Jailer's Inn's sordid past, it's actually one of the most popular bed and breakfasts in the Commonwealth. Built in 1797, the Nelson County Jail was originally a wooden structure. However, a couple got into a fight, and a lady and her husband were thrown into jail. When she sobered up and wanted him to come home, the police refused. Well, she was pretty determined to get him out and burned the entire jail down. The fire was quickly put out, and the lady was caught and given 40 lashes in the town square. In 1819, a new jail was constructed on the site. The new Nelson County Jail was built with 30-inch thick limestone that was fireproof.
Over the years, the Nelson County Jail was home to some of the meanest and most notorious men and women in the United States. Frank and Jesse James spent a night or two in the jail. However, they were there by choice. The notorious outlaws often came to Bardstown to lay low after robbing a train or bank. The James boys were related to the wife of the sheriff and knew they could come and stay for a little while until it was time to reappear for their next big score. Infamous bank robber John Dillinger also stayed at the Nelson County Jail in the 1930s when he was being transported to another correctional facility in Indiana. The Nelson County Jail was also home to members of the notorious Morrell Gang off and on during the 1870s.
In the 19th century, Sheriff George W. Hunter was sent to Bardstown by Governor McCreary to clean up the town. With several distilleries in the area, bourbon flowed freely, and trouble usually followed. Another problem was Charles and George Morrell, and their friend and sometimes accomplice, Sam Ford. All three had a history of robbery, bootlegging, and murder. The Morrell brothers were found guilty of killing a man in Marion County in 1875, and were sent to the Nelson County Jail for the crime. Yet they escaped and were accomplices in the murder of a wealthy Washington County man a year later. Sam Ford was also a thorn in the side of law enforcement. He was already wanted for murder when he and the Morrell brothers took part in one of the scariest home invasions in the area during the 19th century.
On May 29, 1877, local farmer Shelby Ballard and his four-year-old daughter were staying with William Sissel just outside of Bardstown. Late at night, when everyone was in bed, Sissel heard someone knock on the door. As he walked to the door, he asked who was there. A man replied he was a law enforcement officer, so Sissel opened the door. When the door opened, it wasn't a marshal or police officer. It was Charles and George Morrell and Sam Ford wearing masks holding pistols. As the two brothers kept watch, Sam Ford went into the room where his daughter was sleeping. Ford accused Ballard of tipping off law enforcement about some illegal bootlegging the gang was involved in and began to fire his gun. Ballard quickly jumped out of bed and began to fight for his life. After a brief scuffle, Ballard managed to get Ford to the ground. However, one of the Morrells raced to his defense and cracked Ballard over the head with his pistol. As Ballard fell to the floor, Ford shot him in the abdomen and fled home as the little girl cried and screamed for help. Ballard hung on for 11 grueling hours before finally bleeding to death in the home.
6 months later, Sheriff Hunter and his brother-in-law came across the Morrells in a tipsy Ford in Bardstown after they robbed a local tailor shop late at night. A firefight between the men broke out in the street. Charles Morrell was shot in the hand, and he retreated into the woods with Ford and his brother. The sheriff took off after him, and another battle erupted on a nearby farm. Charles was shot again, this time in the mouth with a shotgun. It ripped his jaw clean off. He died there on the scene. George Morrell and Ford were captured and taken to the Nelson County Jail. While being taken into custody, George begged for Hunter to kill him too. After too much bourbon and robbing and shooting, Ford fell asleep in his cell. However, when he woke up, he started cursing and swore he would kill Hunter one day. A few weeks later, as George and Ford were preparing to be taken to the state penitentiary, Ford slipped his leg irons off and made a run for it. Sheriff Hunter drew his gun and fired 5 shots at the outlaw. 4 of the bullets missed, but the last one struck Ford right under his heart. He bled to death there on the grounds of the jail. But not every escape attempt ends with someone getting shot.
In 1970, a teenage girl who got popped for passing bad checks around town thought she had a foolproof way to get out of jail. She got naked, rubbed soap all over herself, and attempted to squeeze through the bars of her cell where the jailer gave her food. As she squirmed through the bars, the young lady got halfway to freedom until she got stuck halfway. A doctor had to be called to help apply more soap to get the girl all the way through. Once the prisoner finally got all of the way out, she was immediately placed right back in her cell. She didn't try to escape again.
As often with most jails in the 19th century, the Nelson County Jail was where men sentenced to die were sent to have their sentences carried out. Approximately 20 men were hanged from the gallows that were erected outside the jail in the courtyard. That doesn't count the prisoners who couldn't be saved by the guards when the jail was overrun by angry citizens who didn't want to wait for a prisoner to stand trial. Several unlucky prisoners were dragged from their cells and hanged from a tree in the courtyard.
In the spring of 1886, Harvey Pasch, a young African-American man, discovered a teenager named Felix Adams had been flirting with his girlfriend. In a rage, he grabbed a shotgun and shot Felix. Pasch was taken to jail and eventually sentenced to be hanged. However, he escaped with another inmate, but didn't get too far before he was captured. Pasch tried to appeal his convictions and actually received a stays of execution from the governor before his time ran out. In December 1886, he was hanged at the Nelson County Jail. Sometimes those who were sent to the gallows don't always make it there, though.
Martin Hill was a local man who came from a prominent family in the area, but he also had a drinking problem. Unfortunately, drinking brought out the mean streak in him. He developed a pattern of violence that left his wife with more than bruises when he had 1 or 2 drinks. One night after the fighting stopped, his wife went to spend the night at a neighbor's house. In her absence, Martin got even drunker and angry about whatever it was they were fighting about. After a few more drinks, he walked over to his neighbor's house and banged on the door until his neighbor came out. The neighbor implored Martin to go home and get some sleep. He even promised that he would make sure his wife would return home first thing in the morning. But this didn't sit well with Martin, and he began to threaten his neighbor. Finally, his wife came outside, and as soon as she did, Martin shot and killed her.
According to legend, law enforcement tried to sweep the incident under the rug until a large number of women protested and charges were brought up on Hill. He was found guilty of murder and sentenced to hang for his crime. While awaiting his execution, Martin became very sick and sat in his cell for several weeks in severe pain. Eventually, he died from his illness and never had his execution carried out in the courtyard. The jail was operational until 1987, when it was shut down and reopened as a bed and breakfast 2 years later.
As you can imagine, with hangings, lynchings, and all sorts of negative energy, the Nelson County Jail is said to be very, very haunted.
Upstairs in the garden room, several guests have claimed to see an 8-year-old little boy named Joshua. Joshua has been known to be very active in the room and likes to move the bed. Occasionally, he will climb into it and lay down in the bed with the unsuspecting guest.
Another spirit is also thought to reside in the garden room with Joshua. This is said to be the ghost of Mrs. McKay, the wife of a former jailer. After the death of her husband, Mrs. McKay was forced to assume the duties of the jailer for a short time. Some guests have claimed to see a woman in the room early in the mornings. It's thought that Miss McKay has stuck around to make sure things are running smoothly. The room known as the dungeon is said to be the most haunted. Some guests have claimed that something shakes their bed late at night, and footsteps and whispers have also been heard in the room. Phones and electronics have also been known to not work properly in this part of the jail. Fully charged cell phones have been known to die in just a few minutes. Lights have a tendency to turn themselves off and on for no reason. If that isn't creepy enough, shadow people have also been spotted there.
If you can make it through a night at the jailer's inn, guests are served breakfast in the courtyard in the spring and summer months. It's actually quite nice until you remember you're eating a muffin just a few feet away from where some of the most evil men in Kentucky were hanged.
The jailer's inn is a great place to stay. In addition to the haunted rooms, there's also a small museum filled with lots of interesting things, such as items confiscated from prisoners during their stay.
We hope you enjoyed our episode on the jailer's inn. If you would like to learn more about haunted locations around Louisville, download the Louisville Ghost Map app in iTunes and Google Play. Also, be sure to check out our website, southernghoststories.com. Please feel free to leave a comment or send us a message on our Facebook or Instagram accounts, and let us know about any creepy experiences you may have had. And feel free to give us some ideas on new locations you'd like to hear about on future shows.
Be sure to subscribe and leave a 5-star review. Those reviews are very helpful, and we appreciate everyone who's taken a few minutes to do it for us. Please check back with us next time as we head back down to Savannah, Georgia, to talk about the Andrew Lowe House.
We hope you enjoyed our last podcast on the Schamburger Building in Gallatin.
Schamburger is fun to say.
Schamburger.
Rhymes with hamburger, I hear.
Does rhyme with hamburger. We hope you enjoyed our last podcast. Is it Schamburger or Schamburger?
Schamburger. Schamburger.
Is that what I was saying last time?
Yes. You went, Schamburger.
Schamburger. It's fun to say.
However, Bardstown has a rich history that stacks up favorably.
Now I'm going to think about it. The James boys were related to the wife of the sheriff and knew they could come and stay a little longer while it was... I don't even know where I was going with that sentence. Infamous bank robber John Dillinger also... Is it Dillinger or Dillinger? It's Dillinger, right?
Yes.
Sorry, I don't know famous bank robbers.
Okay.
What? You're looking at me like I'm stupid.
No, it's just funny. I mean, he's very famous.
I guess I don't know famous criminals.
Okay. So sorry. you just know criminals that aren't very famous, like common street thugs or local heavies?
Local heavies? What does that mean?
Like underlings for a mob boss who kind of do the dirty work. Those are the ones you're familiar with?
Mm-hmm. Yep.